Well, hello, hello, guys. You're listening to Beauty Bites with Dr. K, Secrets of a Plastic Surgeon. And today on the podcast, it's all about the smile, the teeth. We have the teeth expert, the smile whisperer, Dr. Victoria Weitzman in our office. Thank Did I say your last
you
name right?
You said it right. It's Weitzman, but Weitzman. Most people call me Dr. V for that reason. So thank you for having me.
Well, Dr. V and Dr. K, we're going to talk about the teeth.
Yes.
So give us a little background about yourself. I know you're a New Yorker. And you come out to L.A. She graces us once a month in L.A. But what made you dive into studying dentistry and the teeth?
Yeah, so like you said, I'm a cosmetic dentist. I'm based primarily in New York, but I do consider myself bi-coastal. I have patients here in LA that I see, and I go back and forth. We focus primarily on smile makeovers, something that we call, that you're probably familiar with, I'm sure, called dentofacial aesthetics. It's like, how does the smile really impact overall facial beauty? Mm-hmm. You know, what effect does your smile have on how your face looks? And I think, like we said earlier, that lower third of your face, that smile, is really probably one of the most overlooked features when we talk about facial beauty. Mm-hmm. You know, you had mentioned a good point about aging and the aging of the bone in the jaw, but the teeth age as well. You know, they
the
lose
teeth
volume.
Teeth do age. Yes. What are some of the hallmarks? Like when you look at someone, probably go to the grocery store and you're like, oh,
yeah,
those are some aging teeth. Those are some good teeth. What are you seeing with aging teeth?
Yeah, well, I would say, you know, interestingly, I think the smile and the teeth is probably one of the first places that aging shows up.
Interesting.
You know, I know when you look at a face, you probably see other things too, but when I see, when I look at faces and smiles, I'm like, the teeth really are one of the first places. And the things we see could be staining, chipping, and loss of volume is a big one. So same things you look for probably when you look at faces, loss of volume. Like, what are the first signs of someone in their 30s, late 30s, that might start to see some of that aging? Is it loss of volume as
Definitely
well?
Definitely loss of volume.
Yeah.
Like your skin looks a little less taut, a little laxity. Aging and staining, like the skin gets stains, photo damage, pigmentation.
Yeah.
And that just takes away that luminosity of the face or the teeth.
Yeah, it's funny how like the same thing you would look for in the face, that happens in the teeth as well. So that loss of volume really can age the teeth. And when the teeth lose volume, they become shorter. And when the teeth become shorter, this part of your face becomes shorter, so that kind of can affect the facial proportions.
The maxilla, right.
Exactly. And the lip support, too. It could affect that.
Yeah. And so many habits that we do that can impact the teeth that are like grinding and, you know, giving you TMJ problems, that grinding down on the teeth definitely shortens that lower third of the face.
Totally. We see grinding so much, especially practicing in two big cities, like everyone has a pretty high level of stress and grinding too. We see that very often, bruxism, right? So that's one of the first things we look for. And especially, you know, when we do these smile makeover cases, not only do we want to make things look beautiful, but functional too, right? So so is someone having a grinding issue, and how can we help fix that? You know, so function is a big part of it too.
Have you seen like an increase in the incidence of grinding and anxiety, like since COVID or just in this modern world that we're living in?
Totally. I think, interestingly, right post-COVID, we got the busiest we'd been. And I think it's a lot to do with, you know, stress and anxiety levels. And again, that's showing up in the mouth and manifesting in the mouth.
Mm-hmm. It's so trendy these days to get veneers.
Yes.
What are all the major problems and what are all the benefits of good veneers?
Well, you're speaking my language.
Because there's both. There's some really amazing veneer work being done, and then there's some really tragic veneer work.
Well, no, absolutely. So I'm glad you asked about veneers. This is, I would say, 90% of my practice is veneers, cosmetic dentistry, full mouth reconstructions, where we work with all types of porcelain, whether it's a veneer or a crown or a bridge. It's a similar thing, right? So that all starts with an extensive smile design. We never just go in and put veneers in a mouth without having a blueprint. So everything needs to be planned out. We get molds and models and photos and make sure that, you know, our vision is aligned with the patient's vision as far as what they want. So it's essentially like a mock-up of what we're going to do. Now, you know, who's a good candidate for veneers? I always say health first. I think, like, you probably agree with us that health is really the foundation of all beauty.
Yes.
Right? So the first thing we do is ensure that the patient has a healthy mouth. So we definitely don't want to go in. And I see this often where perhaps a patient comes in and has not been that great about coming into the dentist and the regular checkups and cleanings, and then just wants the whole cosmetic makeover, right? So we really need to address those health issues first, because if you don't, that can lead to some of those problems that you're talking about. And to ensure that veneers are done properly and achieve the aesthetic result that we want, we have to make sure that the health is the foundation of that. And the benefits we see, I know you see the same thing, I'm sure. The nice thing about what I do and what you do is that a lot of times you see it immediately. Mm-hmm. You know, let's say you do filler, you know, it's almost like an immediate result. Of course, it takes time to settle, right?
Right.
But like what we do too is you see that immediate result and
the confidence factor.
That's exactly it. That immediate boost in confidence.
You know how people hold back, they hold back.
Totally.
They need to do something with themselves and they're so fearful, and that just little bit of confidence of 100%. An instant result gives them the confidence to start to evolve to the best version of themselves.
100%. 100%. And that's the nice thing about veneers, you know, that immediate, you see it, you see that immediate product, that immediate result. And this is kind of why I love what I do. I have a little bit of an art background. For me to see that visually right away and for the patient to get that confidence boost immediately is amazing.
It's life changing.
Yeah, totally.
I think that dentistry in some ways is farther advanced, so much further advanced than facial aesthetics. Like the way that you guys scan and analyze teeth and assess volumes and do color correction and do like dental shaping, all of that, like the AI, the artificial intelligence and the machine learning that's going on in dentistry is a bit more advanced than what we're doing in facial aesthetics, I have to say.
It is. And I think it's interesting that I think there's definitely a place for AI currently and in the future of both dentistry and medicine, right?
Yes.
Like I could probably foresee maybe doing like AI imaging of like where you want the injections.
Yes.
But there's always still that human element.
Exactly.
And especially with what we do with veneers, I mean, all of our veneers, despite how much imaging we might do, I still believe there's nothing better than the patient trying it in their mouth, seeing it firsthand what it looks like, because, you know, you never want to set false expectations with AI or any kind of VR stuff, you know, and I've experienced that in the past. You don't want to show a patient something that looks a little bit like an avatar and have the expectations be off.
Exactly.
So I always believe in seeing it, feeling it.
That's kind of why with rhinoplasty surgery, it's a little artificial for people to take an image, morph it, and say, here, this is what we're going to do with your nose. I think it's wrong to do that in a patient consultation because it sets them up for failure almost, because the human body does not heal that precisely. And there is individuality.
100%.
And you're not a computer program. You're not a bunch of pixels that you can rearrange.
Exactly. No, you're totally right. I think that everything needs to be tailor-made, custom-made to the patient's face. There is no algorithm or formula that can possibly reproduce that. You've got your aesthetic eye, the patient's got their goals, and while AI, I think, has its place, I mean, there's always going to be that human element. Even the veneers that are made, for instance, the materials that we use in the mouth, you know, we don't put them through a machine.
Right.
They're all handcrafted by our ceramist.
Yes.
To get that artistry, to get that natural look, to not have them look opaque. So, so despite how much computerization, I mean, I still believe that there's always going to be that human touch.
Element.
Yeah.
Because we've all seen veneers that look like little white chiclets. Like pieces of gum. You know, those chiclets, old-fashioned gum sitting in their mouth. Not everybody knows what chiclets are, but...
Yeah, and I think those are probably machine-made.
Definitely. And I have seen a crazy trend for people going overseas to get veneer work done in Brazil or in Mexico. Like, what are your thoughts on that?
Yeah, so that's interesting. I think, you know, we get asked that question a lot, right? Like, what do you think about going to Turkey or Brazil or Mexico? I have amazing colleagues all over the world that are so great at what they do.
Yes.
I mean, there are some fantastic cosmetic dentists and plastic surgeons all over. But I do think don't make your decision just based on price alone, because I think that's the biggest incentive for going overseas is the cost.
Mm-hmm.
If you're going to go overseas, it's for the quality of the doctor. The one thing I'll say is it's not my favorite thing to do, because when you come back and there are issues, then you need to find a new dentist or physician to take care of that.
Very hard to adjust, and
it's
and
hard.
Things need little tweaks sometimes.
Things need tweaks, and we've had some patients come in with work done overseas or in other countries, and they don't have access to their dentist,
right.
And then we have to take over the case.
Yeah.
So it becomes a little complicated.
It's challenging.
Totally.
You mentioned the fact that teeth and health are so interrelated. There are a lot of studies done right now that show that the bacteria that affects the gums actually is implicated with cardiovascular health,
mm-hmm.
and that taking poor care of your gums and having chronic gingivitis can definitely lead to more plaque formation,
mm-hmm.
and kind of poor cardiovascular health. What are your thoughts on that?
I think there's a huge correlation between oral health and systemic health.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's one of the most overlooked factors. I think historically, the mouth has sort of been like the lone ranger in the medical space,
yeah.
You know, dentistry has always been kind of off to the side, but I really think it's important to talk about that integration of dental and oral health,
mm-hmm.
with systemic health. You know, not only is it linked to cardiovascular health, but also there are studies that show that it's linked to things like Alzheimer's and cognitive health too.
Yeah.
So it affects your mental health as well.
Definitely.
Yeah.
One moment.
Sorry, I was like, I don't know what's
that.
You are so good. You know what you need? You need to be on The Doctors or something.
Oh, my God. We should have our own talk show. You know what? How fun would that be to have like an aesthetic anti-aging talk show?
Love.
We should do something like
that. Let's do
that. Fun with that.
I love it. But you belong. You're so articulate and good.
Oh,
I could never do that.
Me too. This is just like a mutual admiration
society. This is so fun. I'm so happy to meet you.
Let's talk a little bit more about your background.
Yeah, let's do that.
So you graduated high school like a baby at age 16.
I did.
And then you have a very fast moving pace in attaining your career goals. So
yes.
What has motivated you as a woman in dentistry to pursue so much excellence so fast?
Thank you for saying that. I think that my biggest motivating factor is, yes, achieving excellence, but also, I feel like when I know what I want, I kind of just go for it. So yes, I did graduate at 16, and then I did a 6-year, you're making me rewind the camera. I'm like, okay, we're going years back. What did happen back then? Yeah. So then I did a 6-year, BSDDS program with NYU. So that left me graduating at like 22. So I was the youngest in the class, which had its own set of interesting, interesting issues to deal with. But, you know, look, I think everyone has their own trajectory and their own life path. And if you know what you want to do, you go for it. But if it takes you a little bit more time, I think that's okay too. You know, that there's no need to absolutely rush. But for me, that's kind of what worked and sort of allowed me to navigate my career in dentistry and sort of find my own path. I started working as an associate for several dentists who were amazing. And throughout that, I did a lot of training in cosmetic dentistry. We don't really learn this in dental school. So I did a lot of like post-grad training and had some great mentors. And then soon realized, you know, the practices that I was working in, while they were wonderful in their own way, didn't really reflect my vision for a practice or the way I wanted a practice. And so then I started my own practice when I was in my 20s, which is also another interesting, which is also interesting, you know, being kind of like, kind of thrust into entrepreneur, you know, entrepreneurism or, you know, being an entrepreneur and starting solo. And That itself was a journey too, and just finding my own way there and what at the time was a pretty male dominated field. Now we've got a lot of women representing, but you know, it's been an interesting journey. But you know, I just want to highlight that I think everyone has their own path, and if it takes people a little more time, I think that's perfectly fine. You never know when you're gonna get set on the right course.
That's true. I think as the more you learn about yourself, the more you understand you have to respect the seasons of your life.
100%. Oh,
and
yeah.
Sometimes it's all about you, sometimes it's about having children or a marriage, and sometimes it's a career-focused thing, and I think that's so empowering. But
yeah,
I think acknowledging the men along the way that have been mentors for us, I know you said you joined some practices, you learned from them.
Mm-hmm.
Me too,
because
sometimes I feel like in the boss girl talk that we like leave those people out on the side, but I want to say like those male mentors were very helpful.
Well,
And the ones that do mentor women, thank God for them. And the rest of them are all a bunch of asses.
I know.
Well, and that's the majority. So we were lucky to find some help along the way.
Absolutely. I did. I have to, like you said, acknowledge those male mentors along the way, because it was really the first time in my training courses in cosmetic dentistry. I mean, I kind of trained in California a little bit and in Vegas and kind of all over. And it was the first time I saw dentists super, super, super happy with what they were doing.
Yes.
You know, practices I had worked in, it was more of like a 9-to-5 for them. But when I had started these training programs and met these dentists that were doing these transformations on people and the impact they were having, that's what really motivated me to be like, all right, this is what I want to do.
Exactly.
And it was that by that example that sort of like led me to kind of do this, and then the practice organically evolved into this. But you're right, those mentors along the way are priceless. I mean, I still have gratitude even as I'm working on cases, like, oh, I remember Dr. So-and-so and he told me this. And yeah.
It must be very satisfying to take someone who is very, shy, reserved, and doesn't want to smile because they don't want to show their ugly teeth, and turn them into a person who's gloriously smiling all the time and so confident. That's got to be the best feeling.
It is the best feeling. And I always say, you know, we're mostly in the business of creating confidence more so than smiles. I mean, yes, that's what we do. But, like, there's such a huge emotional component, I think, to what we both do.
Yeah.
I mean, there are so many issues that people may come in with that's their motivating factor. It's never really just about how they look. It's about how they feel or what they're going through. I can't tell you how many times we have somebody immediately post-divorce or just needs that boost of confidence or is going out to get that new job or had, you know, this area was such a vulnerable, you know, source of just insecurity for them. And once you eliminate insecurity, like you said before, you just shine.
So true. And I think that insecurity starts so young, like from the age of, like, when you get called, you know, that you have buck teeth, that you're sucking your thumb, that you're wearing braces, that you have to wear headgear. Mm-hmm. Middle school. It starts in middle school.
It does.
And it continues on to, you know, where people don't think they have pretty lips, and then they don't smile because they have thin lips. And then, like, thank God for the advent of lip filler, right?
Oh, my God, right? I mean, I think what you do, too, is like so... so amazing, because I always say that the smile and the face is really, COVID aside, the one part of your body you can't really hide. So if you're not happy with another part of your body, you'll throw some clothes on. But your face and your smile, as they say, they're kind of your signature. It's not something you can really hide. That's what you present the world with.
Definitely. So talk a little bit about, like, what are the necessary things we should do to make sure our teeth age appropriately?
Yeah.
We may not all be getting veneers because we'll have to save our dollars. But someday we'll get there. But until then, what are things that the average woman or man should do on the daily, on the weekly, on the yearly, aside from, like, teeth cleaning?
Yeah, totally. I mean, I think being proactive with oral health is key. I think seeing the dentist every 6 months for checkups and cleanings, I think getting things early, like with anything else, even in medicine, you know, early detection of cavities or gingivitis, I mean, that makes a world of difference when you catch things early and just take care of them. You know, if veneers are not an option, then, you know, certainly you could do things like whitening.
And how safe is it? How often should you whiten your teeth?
You know, should you, you know, it's an elective thing, but if that's what you choose, like, I'd say once a year I get my teeth whitened more than that, because obviously I work in my office, so I've got the machine right there. But I would say once a year, it's a pretty safe procedure. It's just hydrogen peroxide. It's 25% hydrogen peroxide that goes right on the teeth. If you've ever seen a Tide pen work, it's that same oxidation process of lifting stains off. I think it's one of the easiest, simplest things you could do for anti-aging. It's our most common procedure before people get married, for instance. It's just like the simplest thing you could do for that confidence boost. And that aside, obviously, you know, a good oral care at home, using an electric toothbrush, flossing, tongue scraping.
Electric toothbrush, that's one of my passions.
Literally.
But when you finally jump from a regular toothbrush to an electric toothbrush.
Life changing.
Welcome to the new generation.
Like,
your mouth
life
has never been so clean.
No, exactly.
People don't know that.
They don't know that.
They think it's the same. Brush your teeth is not the same.
When the same, because those electric toothbrushes probably go at, like, what, 20,000 repetitions a minute. You cannot do that. And if you can, please just show me. I would love to see you go 20,000. But the clean feeling is so much better.
Yeah.
You're getting, like, at least I would say 70-80% more plaque and bacteria and all that. I love
so
it.
So much better for dental health.
Totally.
Are there some tech tools that you really recommend for teeth? Like, I've seen the little water pick commercial.
Oh, yeah, for
like
sure.
What's the best way to floss?
Yeah.
I've also recently heard there's a class action lawsuit for these Teflon-coated dental flosses like Glide. Have you heard that?
Oh, interesting. I did hear about that.
Yeah, because basically you're putting Teflon in the bleeding gums of your mouth, which is like, we're not even supposed to cook with Teflon pans.
Right, and now you're putting
and it. And now you've decided to coat that on your dental floss and not tell us about the risk. So, interesting.
Interesting. No, I actually love the water flosser. I think it's great because so much of the bacteria actually lives interdentally, meaning between the teeth.
Yes.
And that's, it gets to that for sure. But I think, again, even just regular flossing is great too, because I find that's one of the most overlooked things people kind of skimp out on with their oral care routine.
So true.
And tongue brushing too.
Oh, tongue scraping is huge.
Yeah,
yeah,
exactly. I mean, so much of the bacteria lives on the tongue.
Highly recommend that. Mm-hmm. Once you try that, you won't go back to not scraping your tongue ever mm-hmm. again.
No.
It's
no.
so true.
Another thing real quick too, talking about oral health, is, you know, probiotics for the mouth. You know, everyone mm-hmm. talks about gut health and probiotics for the gut, but I think it's really important. I mean, we have bacterial colonies in our mouth too that can be out of sync and out of balance.
Mm-hmm.
And bacteria in the mouth is the cause of cavities, gingivitis, periodontitis. So that's important too, not to overlook oral health when it comes to probiotics. There's all this talk about gut health, but it all starts with the mouth.
And it really does. Any particular diet or foods that are best for us with teeth? I'm sure just eating naturally.
I mean, yeah, I think I would say anything you do for systemic health is likely going to be good for your mouth.
Mm-hmm.
I think just a good general overall health supports oral health as well. You know, our teeth and gums need vitamins and nutrients to stay hydrated, to help balance the pH. So if you're a coffee drinker, I mean, I am too. Keep drinking your coffee, that's okay. But the acidity can be a problem. So, you know, I would always rinse with water after coffee or after red wine or white wine. I mean, and even like staining foods too. There are staining foods that are actually good for you. I mean, there's berries and things like that. So after that, make sure you rinse.
Interesting.
Yeah.
I'm sure, like, I never do that, so I need to start.
I know.
Especially after, like, you run around drinking coffee. How about chewing gum? All right, let's talk about all my bad habits. So drinking coffee, chewing gum, all the bad things that I'm doing that I should not be doing. How do you remedy that? Should I stop drinking coffee? Is it really bad to chew gum?
No, you do not stop drinking coffee. I mean, I'm a coffee addict, I would say. But the acidity can be a problem. It can stain your teeth. So I would say rinse after and just, you know, you can do at-home whitening treatments too. Like, not everyone can come into the dentist and do it, although that's what I recommend. But there are things you could do for maintenance, like Crest
mm-hmm.
white strips to keep up with it. They have whitening pens you could do at home as well.
Yeah.
I think the key is not letting those stains accumulate too much.
How many people are going to get cold sensitivity and dental pain from whitening?
I would say about 1 in 10 patients have minor sensitivity when it comes to whitening. However, it is not permanent. So
mm-hmm.
within 24 hours, it's gone. And the sensitivity really comes from the dehydration of the teeth that
yes.
happens with the hydrogen peroxide dehydrates the teeth a little bit. It pulls water out. And that causes some short-term sensitivity. Within 24 hours, it's gone.
Mm-hmm.
And it's really only 1 in 10 patients that have it. What you do have to be mindful of with in-office whitenings is, for 24 hours, because the teeth are dehydrated, you can't have staining foods because they become like little sponges and will absorb more.
That makes sense.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I wouldn't do it like right the day of an event. I would say do
mm-hmm.
it before.
Do you think if you use an electric toothbrush for a lifetime, you're going to just like scrub all the enamel off your teeth?
No, I don't think so. I think I find that at least with my electric toothbrush, I don't have to put as much pressure.
True.
I actually put less pressure and let the toothbrush do the work.
I love that. And
yeah.
then I have heard some crazy things, like people doing filler in the gingiva to make the gingiva look longer,
yes, yes,
plumper,
yes.
younger. Is
yep.
this a thing now?
It absolutely is a thing. When we do smile makeovers, not only do we have to focus on the teeth, but the gums as well. The gums really frame they're the frames of the teeth. So
right.
symmetry and harmony of the gums and the way they look in the mouth is really just as important as the way the teeth look. So I actually work hand in hand with a periodontist who does that kind of work. I myself in the office do laser gum recontouring for that reason. When we look at the smile, we really have to look at, you know, how the gingiva looks and how they shape the teeth, because if they're too low, the teeth will look, the proportions of the teeth will look too short. So we have to adjust that.
Mm-hmm.
And then there are things like filler in the gum tissue that are done as well. There are other procedures like called crown lengthening, which means bringing up the bone a little bit, bringing up the gingiva a little bit, which is a little bit more extensive, but all part of it. I think we have to look at the smile holistically, like every part of the smile, the lips as well. We look at that.
So important. Totally. I often tell my patients, they come in stating that they have lip asymmetry or one lip is higher or lower.
Yeah.
And really the teeth are so important. The teeth are kind of like the table and the lips are the tablecloth.
Totally.
And so when the dental arch is not perfectly symmetrical, of course, one side of your lip's going to be longer or shorter,
mm-hmm.
you know. So that's really hard for people to get across, but it's such an important concept for injectors and people in aesthetics out there to understand, like, the teeth are everything. It is the framework.
100%. So when patients come in for smile makeovers, we always talk about that too. And they say, well, what should I do first? Should I get my veneers? Should I get my filler? Should I get my, you know, surgery? We always say, you know, do your teeth first, because that's going to serve as the foundation for
right.
where your lip sits. And if you do get other things like fillers, maybe you could do a little less and be more conservative with that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, once you have a good foundation and good lip support and good cheek support, which it does provide if we build out those buccal corridors on the side of the mouth,
mm-hmm.
that will provide more cheek support. So, for instance, if someone's thinking about a facelift or a mini facelift, or, you know, we always say do the teeth first, because that'll affect everything, where the skin sits and all that.
So true. In fact, I've seen patients come in after they've had veneers done and their entire lower face just looks better, almost
yes.
like a little facelift effect.
Yeah.
Because that structural foundation then is there to support the way the skin drapes better.
Totally.
So important.
Totally.
So I think... I really feel like this next decade in aesthetics is going to focus more on the bony framework of the face
mm-hmm.
and less on the filler face, hopefully.
Exactly, yeah. Hopefully we can be a little bit more conservative with treatments. And really, I think the interesting thing here is, like, the conversation that we're having is an integration of the specialties and looking at things holistically and really focusing on dentofacial aesthetics and the face as a whole, and not having it be dentist, plastic surgeon, injector, but really planning out cases together from the start.
How fun would that be? My goodness, that's like from residency
Amazing.
Days. And
yes.
where we had, like, for example, a tumor board, but you'd have people from each specialty coming in and working on the person as a whole.
Exactly.
That's what we should evolve to.
We should. We should maybe have patients where we do that are really looking for a full kind of makeover and really, like, plan it out from the start.
Mm. I love that. Are there biostimulators that improve the health of the gingiva? Now we have collagen biostimulators for the face that grow your own natural mm-hmm. collagen, so you don't have to use as much filler product.
Yeah.
Is there some like product for the gums?
Not that I'm aware of, but potentially in the future.
Potentially.
I mean, I know that there are my periodontist works with a lot of amazing materials where when he does surgery, he does grafts and things like that to kind of stimulate healing.
How about with, like, PRP or stem cell growth factors? Are we seeing that used anywhere in the dentistry?
It's in conversation. It's interesting you ask that, but yes, it's definitely in conversation
mm-hmm.
for sure.
I think this is part of how we're all going to evolve.
Absolutely.
If you're someone who's considering getting veneers, what are, like, the 3 or 4 big steps that you need to follow to get, you know, in the right place?
Yeah. So I think the first step of the veneer process would be to find the right cosmetic dentist that you're comfortable with,
mm-hmm.
right? So that's one. I think that goes with any doctor. With a procedure that's this involved, you want to be sure that the comfort level is there, that you've seen their work, and then, you know, you trust who you're going to. That's one. Two is, if a patient chooses to come see us, you know, they would come in, we would do a full workup, we would plan everything out, meaning that we would assess what their goals are, and then together, you know, come up with a blueprint for what their smile looks like with our lab, with our ceramist. Then it involves a longer 3 to 4 hour visit where we prepare the teeth. And the coolest thing about that is that patients wear temporaries for a couple of weeks
mm-hmm.
where they can, it's almost like a trial smile. it's kind of like, you know, test driving your smile to really assess kind of, is this too long? Is this too short? And really, they're really a collaborative part of the process, you know, where we can make adjustments. And we're still at that phase where things are malleable. Mm-hmm. And then only then do we proceed to the finals.
Got it. Mm-hmm. That's amazing. When you see people using Invisalign, we see that a lot these days.
Yeah.
Are there any negatives? Is this going to lead to any future problems down the road, or is it all positives?
I think for the most part, I mean, I'll preface that with saying I'm not an orthodontist, but I have done Invisalign cases. You know, I think it's only been positive. I think that it really prompts people to do orthodontia because nobody, I don't want to say nobody, but many people don't really want to wear brackets and wires.
Yeah.
You know, so I think Invisalign has been super great at, you know, allowing people to do things in a way that doesn't really affect their lifestyle too much. So yeah. I'm a huge fan of Invisalign. I think it's a great way to align everything. And even a lot of times we do that in conjunction with veneer. So when teeth are especially crooked, you don't necessarily want to, you know, go through the process of putting veneers on them. Sometimes, not in all cases, but in some cases, it's better to get the teeth aligned first.
Right.
That way we could be more conservative with our veneer process.
Do you think when we wear Invisalign and straighten the teeth, we are actually improving? We are improving that bone density then of the jaw, because that movement creates some osteoclast, osteoblast activity.
Yeah, it's all a process of bone resorption and then bone, you know, coming together again. Absolutely.
What are you doing to conserve bone, which is so critical in women, especially 30, 40, 50 and beyond, especially perimenopausal? So much bone density loss and osteoporosis can happen of the jawbone, the gingiva, the teeth. Like, what should we be doing? Are you taking calcium every day? Are you just staying off the soda pop?
Yeah, good questions. Yes, definitely taking vitamins and all that. I just do believe in what we talked about, that whole systemic oral health connection, and anything you do for your body is going to be good for your teeth, but especially the calcium, vitamin D, all that. Staying away from harsh sodas.
This is sad because I got to have my Diet Coke every
day. Can I tell you something? I was a Diet Coke addict. It is my favorite thing.
Yeah.
It's the first thing I order when I go anywhere. I mean, I don't really drink alcohol, but I drink Diet Coke and I just love it. But I did find an alternative recently.
Which is?
It's called Olipop.
Oh, okay.
And it's not Diet Coke, but it has that feel to it. But yes, I think things like soda should be avoided. But listen, we all live life. And I think that if we, you know, everything in moderation, and then there are things you could do after, like you can rinse out, you could, you know, to just really by managing those acidity levels. And there are also things you could do, like remineralization pens. Hydroxyapatite is really good for remineralizing lost, you know, calcium deposits in the teeth.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
is that orally or topically?
No, it's actually a topical gel, hydroxyapatite. It's a remineralization gel. A lot of people don't really talk about it, but that's a good thing to use daily. You know, it just kind of helps, kind of, you know, I look at teeth like skin. They've got little pores in there too with little deposits, and those can get lost and weaken teeth. So that's actually a great thing to do, especially if you're whitening. That can kind of strip that a little bit initially.
Okay, I'm gonna have to find some hydroxyapatite gel. You know, we use calcium hydroxyapatite or the Radius fillers all over the face.
Amazing.
It's so good for collagen production.
I wouldn't put that on the teeth. We could try. Should we try?
We should do a little trial.
Perhaps let's do a little.
Inject that in the gums. I don't know. We'll have to see. It's mainly hyaluronic gel fillers that are going in the gums.
They are. I've done that before too.
Interesting.
I'm not sure about the stability there, but.
Does lip filler make your life hard? Because we've seen some girls with some sausage lips in LA and New York.
Yeah.
Not so much New York, but LA for sure.
No, so it's interesting when we look at the face and we look at redesigning the smile, I mean, the lips really, just like the gums frame the teeth, the lips really frame the smile.
Yes.
So when lips are a little bit overfilled, it creates a shadow on the teeth. And the biggest complaint we get, the biggest, you know, thing that people say is my smile just gets lost in my face. You don't see my teeth.
Right.
And that's because the shadow of the lip now has created this overcast darkness on the teeth, and it's very hard to see them. So what we have to do at that point is get them to a place where they're stable with their lip filler, you know, either get a little bit dissolved, or if that's where they're going to be and stable and not getting more fine. And then at that point, we have to go a little bit brighter with color, make some adjustments to get a little bit more volume in the teeth, because to sort of compensate for the lips.
Yeah, I think, you know, if people follow the trend, hopefully the trend is to backing away from a little bit of the overfill look, but
we've been
doing a lot of dissolving lately.
Yeah.
And some of the fillers that spread or migrate outside the border of the lip are also problematic.
Yeah.
Yeah, affecting kind of the cutaneous part of the lip and giving a filler mustache look.
Exactly.
So I think, I mean, I'm seeing all that in our practice. I imagine in dentistry it really impacts the art of the result, because the teeth are hidden by that.
Exactly. And I've had cases where lips have been a little bit larger, and so we've had to go quite a bit brighter with the color.
Yeah.
Because how else do you have a smile that pops if they're hidden behind the lips, right? And everything has to be cohesive. But we always say, like, you know, get to a point where, like, you feel like this is it. Like, you're going to get it dissolved. Or we have patients dissolve the lip filler. They're reluctant to do so. We get the ideal aesthetics with the teeth.
And then get the filler back.
Because now you've got more support and you can do less.
That's great. I love that idea.
Yeah.
That's actually wonderful. Mm-hmm. Well, so you're in New York the majority of the time, then you come out to LA a little bit.
Yes.
And what are you passionate about doing outside of work?
I love nature. I'm an earth sign, so I love nature. I love hikes. I love things like meditating. I'm not a huge going out type of social person with what we do. And, you know, I do appreciate my downtime.
Mm-hmm.
So I usually, when I have some downtime, try to just kind of, you know, go on a hike or spend time in nature.
I love that. Yeah. The busier you are, the more you want seclusion.
100%.
And just 100%. Like relaxation. And then do you have any life advice for women? It's always hard getting into entrepreneurship, but it's so fun to discover that you have an entrepreneurial spirit.
Yeah.
And any thoughts on like how to succeed?
Yeah. I mean, I think that, when you look at your life, I mean, to always have, a vision of your life with a grander purpose outside of yourself. You know, when you do things just for yourself, it becomes a little bit, feels a little self-serving to do things. But when you expand that vision and think about what bigger purpose you want to have, that really becomes the motivating factor. I mean, I think for me, my biggest motivating factor for success has been potentially one day, or even currently, the ability to give back in some way. And that's sort of my North Star always.
Mm-hmm.
It's not always about me or what I want. You kind of have to have that bigger vision.
Making this industry better.
Like, yeah.
I think the idea that all the knowledge you're putting out on your page and teaching for your patients and bettering people's lives. So
exactly.
Really wonderful. Where can people find you on your social handles?
It's Dr. Victoria DDS.
I love it. And that's on Instagram.
Yep. Dr. Victoria DDS.
Are you on TikTok, YouTube?
Yes, we do have a TikTok.
Perfect.
Same
handle.
I'm
going to come out and visit you in
Please
New York.
Please do. I would love that.
Yeah.
And in LA too.
For sure. I love the idea of like more of this unified vision of dentofacial aesthetics or facial dental aesthetics.
I love that. And I love the idea of female doctors. You know, we were both talking kind of off camera that both of our practices, I would say, what did you say, 90%?
Women.
Are women. And I think there's just like a comfort level there, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So.
Yeah, definitely reach out to a provider who you have a really good connection with, because there's so many out there. I would not choose someone that I didn't feel so comfortable with. It's a vulnerable thing to share your insecurities.
Exactly.
And you're so fabulous. Thank you
so much for coming on today. Thank you for having me.
That's it for now, guys. Don't forget to find me on my Instagram. It's Beauty by Dr. K, DrKay. And our website is the same, beautybydrk.com. That's where you can find our amazing skincare. I'm going to get you some of our lip plumper, our vitamin
please.
C, hyaluronic.
Thank you.
Can't wait to try hydroxyapatite
gel. Yes.
And all these tips and pointers. You guys, so many important things to take care of this lower face and the beautiful smile.
Yes, absolutely.
That's it for now, guys. Big smile, stay beautiful.